This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. You're with me, Juliet Jacobs, joined by Darshan Johan and Lim Soo Ann. So in our first story, we're going to take a look at a collaborative audiovisual project that pairs Rohingya and Malay folk songs and discuss how projects like this help us to better understand the lives and traditions of refugees.
Yes, and for our second story, more politicians are using social media platforms like TikTok and Snapchat to engage younger members of the electorate and disseminate messages. So we'll be discussing if these are effective platforms for political campaigns.
And for our Twitter poll, we are asking you, are social media platforms like TikTok effective methods of communication for politicians? So your options are yes or no. But if you have any other thoughts you'd like to share with us, you can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Yes, so we're going to be discussing that in the later part of our show today. But first, we're taking a look at a short series of audiovisual posts that I came across while I was on Instagram. So the other day on Arts Equator's page, I saw a couple of interesting videos which are pairings of Rohingya and Malay lullabies and folk songs accompanied by a specially designed GIF as a background. And this audiovisual project is a collaboration between Rohingya poet, Mayu Ali and Malaysian artist Sharon Chin, who designs the animated patterns that accompanies the posts.
And to give you a taste of what these videos sound like, the first one pairs a song titled Rohingya Salon, which translates to Rohingya Dishes, with the song Ikan Keke, which I'm sure many of us are familiar with. So have a listen to the clip from the video.
Ilish Masar, Tirish Kera, Fasha Masar Tel, Olua Masar Batar Musa, Ringung Kene Gil, Sheet Kaila Hasha Zul, Zermasha Farul Ul, No Haile Tumar Bul.
1, 2.
Ikan keke ma iloy iloy, ikan gelama ma ilai ilai. Nanti adik ma iloy iloy, pulang bersama ma ilai ilai. Tenang tenang ayah di laut, sampan golek mudik ke Tanjung. Hati terkenang mulut menyebut, budi yang baik rasa dijunjung. Ikan keke mak iloy iloy, ikan gelama mak ilai ilai.
So that was narrated and sung first by Rohingya poet Mayu Ali, followed by Zidak Siu on Ikan Keke. So that's the first installment of a 5-part series that's being posted daily on Arts Equator's Instagram page. So 3 more of the posts have been put up since, all three also featuring, you know, pairings of Rohingya and Malay folk songs. And these are accompanied by animated images that include elements from both cultures. So in a personal post, Sharon describes her designs of these patterns as, and I'm quoting her here, one pattern for two songs from two cultures, one small bridge for the immeasurable distance and pain between our peoples.
Yes, and when it comes to how we as a country treat refugees, it's something that we've, you know, been struggling to talk about and to make changes to for a long time. So Malaysia has on several occasions turned back boats carrying Rohingya refugees and prevented them from entering our borders. Malaysia does not recognize refugee status and has neither signed nor ratified the United Nations Refugee Convention, but we are often a destination for ethnic Rohingya who make dangerous journeys across the sea to flee persecution in Myanmar. In recent months, the government also announced that we would no longer accept Rohingya refugees on account of dwindling resources and a fear of imported cases of COVID-19. But such reasons have been widely criticized by human rights activists. Rohingya refugees who are in the country are also often faced with discrimination, which has been said to be on the rise since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah, so a project like Sharon and Mayu's, which tries to form a bridge between both cultures, it's quite a welcome one. You know, it's an opportunity for us to learn more about other cultures in the region, even if it's just something small like this. It's a snippet of a folk song, it's elements in a pattern, but it helps to humanize refugees beyond what we read in the newspapers, beyond numbers and statistics that we see, by highlighting that, you know, just like us, they have their own cultures and traditions as well.
Now, unfortunately, we weren't able to get in touch with Mayu in time for today's show as he is based in Cox's Bazaar in Bangladesh. But joining us today is Sharon Chin, the other half of the project. Welcome to the show, Sharon. Sharon, tell us more about this project. How did you and Mayu come to collaborate on this?
Mm. Okay, so this project actually started when Arts Equator, which is an independent arts website based in Singapore, approached me to do some artwork related to COVID. And I suggested a collaboration between Rohingya poet and myself. Because Arts Equator also had gotten some sponsorship to create multimedia content by Splice Media. So there's this fund that they had called Splice Lights On. So that's how this project came about.
Okay, so did the two of you already know each other before this project?
No, I searched him out online. So I was looking for any Rohingya art or poetry because I realized that everything that I had heard and read about the Rohingya people was always only through the media. So I didn't actually have any other context. So I went searching, and yes, of course, there are Rohingya poets and artists. And I found Mayu through his website. And also, he started a project in Cox's Bazar refugee camp called Art Garden Rohingya. And you can find them on Facebook. So it's this Facebook page which posts almost every day a new poem from people in the refugee camp. Yeah, so that's how I got in contact with him. And he had already begun compiling his own poetry, but also some lullabies and folk songs on his website. And that's how we started.
So for us Malaysians, you know, we're quite familiar with the Malay folk songs like Ikan Keke and even Linggang Linggang Kangkung, which you used on one of the posts. But are the Rohingya songs their folk songs as well?
Yeah, that's right. And he went around documenting them, which is really important work because when you think about, like for me, there are some songs that some of our Malay folk songs that I know from childhood, especially Linggang Kangkung and Ikan Keke. I know that tune, and I can't even remember the first time I heard it, but I still had to go and look up the lyrics. So there is more and more distance between me, at least me, and our traditional songs. So I can only imagine the disruption that Rohingya culture has gone through. So this act of documentation is a great service.
And from the perspective of Malaysians, you know, why is it important for us to learn more and be exposed to these little bits of Rohingya culture?
I think it's really about the connection between us. Because there is a connection. We are somehow now intertwined into history by our actions and our responses towards each other. So, it's funny because when I was researching our folk songs to pair with the Rohingya songs, I felt that in many ways, what we do in real life kind of dictates our relationship to our own songs. For example, there are some lyrics in Ikan Keke, which go, Budi baik rasa dijunjung. So, you know, lines like this, they're very simple, and they speak about doing good things, treating other people well. So I really think it's about learning about ourselves as well, like getting in touch with another part of ourselves that may not be reflected in the way we treat refugees and migrants.
So it's interesting that this project sees folk songs from two different cultures being paired together, accompanied by a pattern that includes elements from both cultures as well. So what was the rationale behind this?
So at first, the project was just illustrating Rohingya songs. But when I was talking to Mayu, he asked me a question that made me sit and think He didn't say anymore. He just asked, like, will it only be Rohingya songs? So, I don't know. I sat with that question for a couple of days. And, I felt this need to be so careful because, you know, very often in the arts, we have very good intentions, but sometimes what we do can end up further ghettoizing a culture or framing it in a certain way. So what I really wanted to do was create this bridge or somehow have a unifying force. So that's when I thought, okay, we can put Rohingya and Malaysian songs side by side so that the Rohingya songs are not, they don't stand alone, you know? Yeah, that was the reason.
So I saw you also try to include both elements of Malaysian and Rohingya culture into the patterns as well. For example, the second video has a backdrop of vernal hanging parrots, which are common across parts of Southeast Asia, carrying Arakan coins. I mean, it looks seamless to us, but was it challenging to come up with such designs?
Yes. So that was a big challenge for me because I wanted to see whether I could make one artwork for two songs. Yeah, I really wanted to push it a little bit. And I thought about patterns, so repeating patterns that you can apply to wallpaper or to fabric, because those images are, they're not so direct. So they're a little bit more about feeling when you look at them. Like when you look at a piece of batik, for example, you can discern the individual flowers or motifs, but also you see the overall pattern and you get a certain kind of emotion from that. So that's what I wanted to achieve with this. I think it's about that vernacular visual language. So we actually know how to read these patterns because they come from a long tradition in our own culture, but also across all cultures. So all cultures have patterns, actually, just as all cultures have songs, old songs from long ago. So with that one, the pairing, the Rohingya song for that reference counting coins, and the Malay song that I chose was Lagu Tiga Kupang or Three Coin Song, which interestingly is actually a kind of riff on Sing a Song of Sixpence. So that must have come from the British colonial times. So it's interesting how these songs reflect quite a lot of textures in history.
And speaking of challenges, with you and Mayu based in different countries, was it challenging to collaborate on this?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm very grateful that he agreed to the project. And there was trust, I guess. I really wish we could talk to him because I don't want to speak for him. He is a great poet and also author of Exodus, which tells the story of him and the exodus of Rohingya people from Rakhine State in Myanmar, which used to be known as Arakan State. Yeah.
And Sharon, you know, what do you want people to take away from this project?
Well, for us, actually, it's not all pretty pictures because I know these songs are, some of them are lullabies, but for us, for Malaysians, it's the lullabies are not really intended for us. It's more a case of waking up for us and kind of seeing the truth of who we are. So just facing it, really. Just really, really sitting with it and internalizing it and thinking about what is done in our name. Because actually this project for me comes from a place of shame. I can't deny that. And I think we'll, but this the seeds are not new either. So in one of my Instagram posts, I talked about how in 1978, we actually pushed away Vietnamese boat people. So this obviously goes back into our history. So I think we need to look closely at that and what that means.
All right. Thank you so much for speaking to us, Sharon. That was artist Sharon Chin talking to us about her 5-part audiovisual project with Rohingya poet Mayu Ali. And you can look for these videos on Arts Equator's Instagram page.
And like Sharon mentioned, Arts Equator is a Singaporean-based media platform and is one of the few ones that cover arts and culture in Southeast Asia. But COVID-19 has dealt a blow to their finances, so they are now running a fundraising campaign, Project CTRL as Arts Equator. And next Tuesday, Sharmila Ganesan will be speaking to them about that campaign and why it's essential to have a robust, independent arts media in the region. So you'll want to tune in to that on 6th of October at 3 p.m.
But I guess coming back to this project, you know, that's being supported by Arts Equator, I thought it was really interesting because it's a pairing that you wouldn't think of immediately. It's looking at folk songs between them, Rohingya folk songs and Malay folk songs, but it's done quite well. And I think it's interesting to see, you know, traditions of Rohingya refugees who often we just read about their plight in the media.
Yeah, definitely. Because the thing about the media is we are always learning about their struggles. Okay, these are poor people. There's like conflict in their countries. There's civil war, all these sorts of things. And now they are, you know, looking for a new home. But a lot of these, it's not just Rohingya, a lot of refugees, different cultures, they have their own cultures. There's beauty there. It's not just brown and, you know, bleak. And also, I think when we look at these sort of arts, it's a good way to explore the beauty of it, like their songs, and, you know, the sort of food they have, you know, all different aspects of their culture that is more than just suffering.
And like Sharon mentioned earlier, you know, it's a way for them to also document these traditions, to have it immortalized in a way.
Yes, I think people forget that they are people as well, you know, with culture, with traditions. And, you know, when you look at a refugee, you don't think, oh, you must be a poet or something like that. You know, everybody's got all these different talents and it's all just, like you said, you know, it's all blanketed. You're just looking for some, you know, refuge from whatever you're fleeing. But to see them as individuals with all of this in them, that's an amazing project. It's really wonderful. But if you have any thoughts about this, you can always tweet us at BFM Radio, you know, share your thoughts. You can also send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. We're going to take a quick break, but we're going to leave you with Let's Work Together by Canned Heat. You're tuned to The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.